Today's daf is Me'ila Daf Yud Zayin. We are at the Mishnah, two lines from the top of Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Zchus Rufu Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza and from Moshe Ben Esther Adol Liba. So the theme of the fourth parak of Mesechtes Me'ila is not so much halachos of Me'ila, but rather different places in halacha where two things are mitztaref to meet a specific shift. The Mishnah began with halacha that discusses hitstarfus in the context of me'ilah. Kodshe mizbeach mitstarfim ze'em ze'lem me'ilah. The only time a person is subject to the shulchan aruch of me'ilah is if he's ma'il ashir. What's the shir? Shava pruta. Said the Mishnah that kodshe mizbeach are all mitstarf for the shir shava pruta. So if somebody would have ana of a chatzi pruta of a chatos, and have another chatzi pruta of an oilo, the two adim etztarif, to establish the sheer pruta for the halachas of me'ilah. The same is true for two items of kachim bedagabayas. The same is true if you have a chatzi pruta of kachim mizbech and a chatzi pruta of bedagabayas, the halach is that they are adim etztarif. The Mishnah then said that on the topic of etztarfus as it relates to me'ilah, the same would be true if you have an oila, but different parts of an oila. So somebody had hana chatzi pruta of basar oila, and then he had hana chatzi pruta of chelav of an oila. The halach is there would be mitzarif. The Mishnah said chamisha dvarim ba'oila mitzarifin shisha betayt. Then the Mishnah digressed. The Mishnah spoke about the halach is of truma and said truma smaiser shaldmai chalim bikurim. They're all called truma in the Torah, and as a result, they're mitzarif to different halachas related to truma. The Mishnah said kol anaveilos mitzarfin zulazu. Kol hashrotzim mitzarfin zulazu. The Mishnah now is going to continue and discuss other halachas not related to me'ilah that are mitzarif, and then the Gemara is going to digress from its digression, and we're going to have one daf of agadata Gemara right here in Mesechtes Me'ilah. So when we learn Mesechtes Tmura, there was one amid of agadata, Tmura daf tez zayin. In Mesechtes Me'ilah, it's Me'ilah daf yud zayin. Either way, Zok the Mishnah, Dam Asheretz ve'habasar mitztarfin ze im ze. So we spoke yesterday in detail about the halachos of tumos shrotzim. So a sheretz is metamah, not all shrotzim, only shmoyne shrotzim. What's the shir tumas shrotzim? It's a mechudish de geshir. The shir is kadasha. So if you would have part of a sheretz the size of a lentil, that's a lot less than a kezayis, the size of a lentil, the halacha is, it's metama tumas kala, meaning it's only metama if you physically touch it, as opposed to other tumas that are more chomer, tumas masa, tumas oil, but a sheretz, the shmoyne shratzim are metama, bika adasha, tumas maga, says the Mishnah, dam hasheretz, ubesorim mitztarfin zemzat, meaning which part of the sheretz is included in the shir adasha as it relates to tumas sheretz. It's the dam and it's the basar. Klalam Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said the following rule as it relates to its starfus and tuma. Kol she tumas v'shuru eshavin. If you have two items that are tame, and the two things are similar in two regards. Number one, they both have the same chomer of tuma. So they're not only both tame, but they're the same type of tuma. Additionally, shiru eshavin. The halacha of how much tuma you need in order for this thing to be metama is shava as well. So, for example, you have two parts of a mace. Reuven and Shimon are both dead. You have a half a zayas of Reuven's basar and a half a zayas of Shimon's basar. They're both tumas mace. It's the same tuma. They both have the same shear. Kizayas basar of a mace is metama. Or you have two chatzi adashes of shrotzen. One sheretz, another sheretz, you have a half a dash of this, a half a dash of that. It's the same tum, it's the same shit. Allah, it's going to be mitzarif. Tumasev elay shiurei. What happens if you have two items that are tumay? They both have the same type of tumah, but their sheer tumah is different. So we'll be an example of that. You have a little bit of basar min hames, and you have a little bit of an aver of a mace. The halach is basar of a mace is matama b'kezayis. Eiver min hames, we saw this in yesterday's daf, very quickly, is afilu b'kalshu. If you have an eiver shalim, it's matama b'kalshu. So they have the same chomer of tumah, they're both tame tumas mace, but at the same time, the shear of tumah is not the same. Shiyu rev elay tumasai, or what would be, if you have two items that have different tumas, but they have the same shear tumah. What would be an example of that? Basar mace and basar nevela. So basar mace is metama b'kizayis. Basar nevela is metama b'kizayis, but they have a different type of tumah. Tumas nevela is considered tumah chamura, because relative to other tumas, it's more chamer. It's metame not only b'maga but also b'masa. But tumas meis is even more chamer because tumas meis is maga, masa, and tumas oil. So if you have a little bit of nevela and a little bit of basam and ames, they can't be mitzarif, said Rabbi Yeshua, because even though shiura and shava, they're both metame b'kazayis, but tumas is not shava. One is only tame tumas masa, the other one is even tumas oil. Loi tumas v'loi shiura. What would be if you have two things that are tame, and the tuma and the shir are both different? So for example, you have a little bit of a sheretz, you have a little bit of a nevela. They're completely different. The shir is different, nevela is b'kazayis, sheretz is be'adasha, and the level of tuma is different as well, because nevela is metame b'masa, sheretz is only metame. Bottom line is a mitzarfin. So what's the rule? How do you know if two things that are tamei and mitzarfin? Klal Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua who gave us klalim throughout Shisha Sidra Mishnah, throughout Shas. So here too he gave us a klal. He said if it's tumasai v'shiura shavin, even if it's not the same thing, then the halach is it's going to be mitama. However, if there's any difference, whether the difference is in the shir or the difference is in the tuma, in that case the halach is, it's not going to be mitzarfin. Now the first halach of the Mishnah was dama sheretz ubisarai mitzarfin zemzem, which is a little bit of a chiddush. Means that not only is the basar of a sheretz tame and metama, but the dam of a sheretz as well. Amar Abchanin, Amar Abzeira, Uvai. What does Uvai mean? That when we say that the dam and the sheretz are mitzarif, it means the sheretz is basar and its own dam. So if the dam and the basar came from the same sheretz, came from the same physical creature, then we'll say they'll be mitzarif. But if you take the dam from one sheretz and the basar from another sheretz, and you put them together, the halachas is not going to be mitzarif. It says in one of the psukim that talk about the shrotzim, the word hatmeim, melamed, and we learn from the extra hey, you could have just said tmeim, hatmeim, with the hey, ayati, it teaches me shei mitzarif. Vafilu sheretz, v'sheretz, sheretz, v'dam, and the hay teaches me that the dam is metama as a dish in addition to the basar, and it doesn't matter if the dam and the basar came from the same sheretz or if they came from two different shrotzim. So it's mefurish, not like what Rav Chanan said in the name of Rav Zeira. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said like kasha kam be kulay kam be miktasim. If you take a look in the Rishonim, there's different ways to learn this Gemara. We'll pick one, and that is that it depends on whether the sheretz is intact or the sheretz is not intact. Interesting chiddush. If the underlying sheretz from where the dam and the basar is intact, so then the halacha is going to be that it doesn't matter if the dam came from one sheretz and the basar came from another sheretz. If they came from a full sheretz, so to speak, it's an intact sheretz, that gives the dam that was perished from it and the basar that was perished from it a chashivus. Now they could be mitzarif, even their mishnei shemus. That's what that baraisa was referring to. When Rav Zeira said ubay, he was talking about with the sheretz itself is not intact. It was chopped up into a bunch of pieces. Now you have the basa here, you have the dam here, and you want to be mitzarif them. So if it's ubay, if it's from the same sheretz, they can be mitzarif. If not, it can't be mitzarif. Says the Gemara, and again, some girsa issues here. You're not hemra. How do you know that this is true? Very surprising distinction. Right now you have the basa, you have the dam. What you have for sure was pirish. But the question is, it came from somewhere. That thing that it came from, is that thing whole right now? Or is that thing not whole? Minus what was pirish. But is it generally whole or not? That's the determining factor. You need a makar to say such a svara. The Gemara says, yeah, I have a makar. But the time you learn to the braiso, nishbach ala ritzpa, a revius dam of mace that was nishbach ala ritzpa. So when we talk about a mace, the atzoma is metama, the basar is metama, the ivarim are metama, the dam is also metama. What's the sheer tuma of dam of a mace? It's berevius. So the Brisa discussed the case where the revius of dam of mace spilled a la ritzpa on the floor, and the floor, the surface where it spilled was on a slant. So the halacha is like this. If a person was on top of miktsas of it, tahar, the halacha is he's going to be tahar. Because even though revius dam of a mace is treated like a mace, which means not only is it tamei tumas magma mas, it's also tamei tumas ayil, but being that this person was only mal on miktsasoy, he wasn't mal al kuloy, so he wasn't mal on the entire revius, the halacha is going to be tahar. Iel al kuloy, if however he was on top of all it, then the halacha is tamei. So skipping the next few words, freak the Gemara, how could this be true? Amar Reb Chanina, Amar Rebbe, revius dam, shehegis ba tahoiro. Didn't Reb Chanina say in the day of Rebbe that if somebody was mishing a revius of dam, even though he's hovering on top of it, the halacha is he's going to be tahar. There seems to be a stira. Here you're telling me il al kulei tame, and here you're telling me revius dam sheheges batahira. So manavshach, if somebody's on top of a revius dam, is he tame to masoil or is he not tame to masoil? There seems to be a contradiction. Elo lav shmami no. You know what the answer must be? Kan bekulei, kan bemiktase. And going along the way that we're learning the Gemara, kan bekulei, which is one of Tosis pshatim, kan bekulei, kan bemiktase. What matters is the mace, the underlying mace intact, or is it not intact? If the underlying mace is intact, then the dam becomes more chashev. The dam that was pyrish from a complete mace is more chashev, and then if you're mile on top of a revius of it, you're going to be tummy. If the underlying mace is not intact, then so just like we have this chiluk with regards to tumas oil of revius dam of a mace, so too we could shtel it to the halachos of dam hasheret ubesaroi mitstarfim ze im ze exel. So here's the agada to Gemara. Shol Ramasi ben Chorosh es Rab Shimon bar Yechoi biroimi. So Ramasi ben Chorosh was the chief rabbi of Rome, so to speak. He was one of the great Tanoim of his generation. He lived in Roimi. He had a Bezdin there. And there's different incidents in Shas that are discussed with different Gedolei Yisrael, different Tanoim of the time, were in Rome, and they met with Rav Masya ben Chorosh, right? The most notable one is the Gemara Masechtas Yuma, Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph, that we mentioned a few times recently, where Rav Masya ben Chorosh met Rav Elazar ben Azariah in Roimi, and he wanted clarification about the Dalit Chiluke Kapara, when Yom Kippur's Mechaper, when a person needs Yisurim, when a person needs his Yom HaMisa in order to get Kaparas. He was discussing it with Rav Elazar ben Azariah in Roimi. Here he encountered Rav Shimon bar Yochai. So Shor Rav Masya ben Chorosh, Rav Shimon bar Yochai b'Roimi. How do you know that the Dam of Hasheretz is Tamei? Who said the Dam of Hasheretz is Tamei? It's the Mishnah. Dam Hasheretz u'Psarei, Mitzdar from Zemzeh. So for sure the Dam of Hasheretz is Tamei. How do you know that? Amalei. So he told him, the Amakra, it's learned that from a pasuk. It says, V'zelochem hatame basheretz, v'ze, it's an extra vav, is coming to teach me that not only is the sheretz tamei, but the dam of the sheretz is tamei as well. Omrei Talmida. So Rav Masya ben Chorosh's Talmidin, his chevra, overheard this conversation between Rav Masya ben Chorosh and Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Rav Masya ben Chorosh asked Rav Shimon bar Yochai a question of learning, and Rav Shimon bar Yochai knew the answer. So they told him, Chacham li ben Yochai, wow, Rav Shimon bar Yochai is so smart. He knew this answer. He told him, no, don't be so impressed. Talmud Orech Bethiv Shavav Belazab Rab Yossi. This is not his chiddush. This is a famous saying that Rav Belazab Rab Yossi had already said, and that's how Rav Shimon bar Yochai knew about it. But this is not his own drasha. He knew it because it's a Talmud Aruch b'fiv shor b'lazim Rabbi Yosi. The obvious question is, if Rav Masya ben Chorosh knew that it was a Talmud Aruch b'fiv shor b'lazim Rabbi Yosi, why was he asking Rav Shimon bar Yochai? He was giving him a faher. He's giving Rav Shimon bar Yochai a faher. So it's not so clear. But either way, says the Gemara, Shapam Machas Goz Ram Malchus. How do you know that this was a Talmud Aruch b'fiv shor b'lazim Rabbi Yosi? So the Gemara tells a fascinating story. Once upon a time, there was a terrible gzera. The Romans had imposed a terrible decree on Klal Yisrael. What was the gzera? Shelo yishmeru es haShabbos, v'shelo yamulu es bneiim, v'sheyivalu nidois. So they made a gzera against Shabbos, against Mila, and Tyrus HaMishpacha. Holach Rab Ruvain ben Ustrovli. V'siper kubis. It was a yid. His name was Rab Ruvain ben Ustrovli. He's mentioned sometimes with a different name as Astruvlus ben Ruvain. It's the same person. But either way, he went v'siper kumi. And he cut his hair in the way that the Romans used to cut their hair. Meaning he went undercover. And he sat together with the Romans. He made believe he was one of them. And now they're discussing this gzera. And he tells them, let me ask you a question. If you have an enemy, you want this person to be wealthy or you want him to be poor? What do you mean? If I don't like the guy, then I don't want him to have money. So he told him, so I don't say you want the Jews to work 7 days a week? They're not successful enough working only 6 days a week. You need them to work now a seventh day? That doesn't make a lot of sense. They said, Thomas Amr, you know what? You're saying very good. Ubitlu. And they were mevatel the gzeira against Shabbos. Then he told him, Mishi yesh loy oyev, yakhish o yavri. If you have somebody you don't like, you want him to be healthy? Or do you want him to be shvach? Amr lo yakhish. They said, we want him to be shvach. Amr lam, so he told him, Ken yomulu b'neim l'shmoyne yomim. V'yakhish, he said, why are you saying that they shouldn't do bris milah? Let them not do bris milah. It's much better. bris milah, it weakens the child. That's a good thing. I mean, they said, you know something? You're saying good. Tavis amar ubetluah. Chazav. Then he told him, ishli ishli oyev yirba yismai. If you have somebody that you don't like, you want him to multiply? You want him to have a lot of children? Or he shouldn't be procreating? Amru loy, they told him, yismai. Obviously, we don't want him to have a lot of children. Amru lam sigdom, kein lo yivalu nidais. So why you be mevatel nida? It's good. Like this, there's a tkufa of nida where they can't have children. Amru, so they said, tavis amar ubetluah. Kirubai shiyudi. Unfortunately, at some point, his cover was exposed. And they realized that Reb Ruvein ben Ustravli wasn't really a Roman, but rather he had been placed there strategically by the Jews to be mevatel this gzera. And because of that, hichzira. They were chayzer. Meaning, even though intellectually they seemed to have been persuaded by what he had told them, but being that it came from the Yidden, and he realized that this was a ploy for them to be mevatel the gzera, so they went and they were under the gzera, and now the Yidden was stuck with the gzera, and the Romans weren't happy either. So it was going to be enforced in a much more stringent way. Amru, so the Yidden got together, and they said, we need to be mevatel the gzera. We have to send somebody. But mi yelech the mevatel the gzera. Who should go and be mevatel the gzera? So they decided, yelech Reb Shimon bar Yochai. We're going to send Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Why? Mipnei shehu melumed benisen. Because Reb Shimon bar Yochai was melumed benisen. It was very shchich by him miracles. So if you send Reb Shimon bar Yochai, there's a good chance that you're going to get a moifus, right? It was shchichi moifusim by Reb Shimon bar Yochai. So it makes sense that we should send Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Achra miyelech. Okay, Reb Shimon bar Yochai has to go with somebody. So who's going to go together with him? So they decided Reb Elazar, Reb Yossi. The great Reb Yossi had a son, Reb Elazar. Yossi, the Gemara says, had five sons. Chamesh beilois baalti v'natati chamisha arozim b'Yisrael. It's Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Chesam. So Reb Shimon bar Yochai, they decided he's going to take one of Reb Yossi's sons. Which one? Reb Elazar, Reb Yossi. I'm the Reb Yossi. So Reb Yossi turned to the Chachamim and he said, "Ilu hoya abba chalafta kain." He said, "If my father chalafta was alive, stam Reb Yossi in Shas." Is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. So Rabbi Yossi's son, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, is now being told that he's going to go on this very dangerous mission to Rome together with Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Basically, the mission statement is that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is going to perform a miracle. He's melumed ben Nisim, and that's how this gzera is going to go away. But it seemed a little dangerous. So Rabbi Yossi was a little scared. So he said, "You're sending my son?" He said, "I want to ask you a question. If my father Chalafta," how he called his father by his name, "but if my father Chalafta was alive, would you have told him, Yucholim atam loy malaytein bincha lahariga? Would you say that send me on this suicide mission? You would never do that. Why? Out of respect to my father. So why am I less? I don't understand. You would never send me because of the covet of my father. So now why are you sending my son?" I'm the Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon turned to him. Reb Shimon says, "I'm going too. It's not like I'm sending your son into battle. I'm also going. Ilu hayu yoychai abakai. My father yoychai was alive. Yoychai lamatum leim aloi tein bin chalariga. But I'm willing to do it." So I think this is a mysterious nefesh for Klal Yisrael. This is something we have to do. Mustama, you have to say that even though Reb Shimon yoychai was melumed benisim, but there is a halacha of insoim chanal anes. So at the end of the day, from a pure halachic perspective, I don't know if Reb Yossi was questioning Reb Shimon bar Yochai's ability to perform a miracle as much as he felt in halacha there is a concept of ein soim chen alames. I'm the Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi says, "You know what? Ani Oslin. I want to go. Instead of my son going, let me go." Dilma Onich lay Reb Shimon, who the Kamas Tamid, he was afraid of Reb Shimon. And the Gemara says, it's not even so much that he was afraid that he wasn't going to perform a miracle, but he was afraid that Reb Shimon maybe would be upset by something that Reb Elazar Reb Yossi did and he would try to hurt him. Either way, the Gemara says, Kabbalah lay delay la anche. Reb Shimon bar Yochai had to make a Kabbalah. He had to promise Reb Yossi that he won't hurt Reb Yossi, and then Reb Yossi was willing to send his son. Says the Gemara, "Filo hachi anche." Even though Reb Shimon bar Yochai made this Kabbalah, but it didn't play out 100% that way, and Reb Elazar Reb Yossi ended up getting hurt. How? And this is what it has to do with our sugya. Because when Reb Elazar Reb Yossi Reb Shimon bar Yochai were on their way to Rome, so they met Yidden, and they came, and they see these two big chachamim, the two gedolei atanam, and they asked them the following question: Minayim l'dam hasheretz? Shehu Tami. Amazing. How do you know that the Dam of the Sheretz is Tami? Our Mishnah. Ikim Piv Reb Elazar Reb Yossi. Reb Elazar Reb Yossi answered, but he answered very quietly. Va'omar, and he said, Vezelechem Hatami. It almost sounds like Reb Elazar Reb Yossi wasn't sure if Reb Shimon bar Yochai knew the answer. So he like whispered the answer. So Reb Shimon bar Yochai, it shouldn't sound like he's the one giving the answer. But this was what he said. It's Vezelechem Hatami. From there we learned that not only is the Basra of the Sheretz Tami, but the Dam of the Sheretz is Tami as well. Amalei Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon turned to Reb Elazar Reb Yossi. And he told him, it's clear that you're a Talmud Chacham. But what we're missing is the punchline. And that is, you were Moira Halacha B'fnei Rabbi. because I'm the Rebbe, you're the Talmud. And being that you're Moira Alocha Bifnei, your Rabbi, this sounds like the story of Shmuel and Eli, Yechayev Miso. So he said, Al Yachzer HaBen Eitzel Aviv. And he gave him a very sharp zog. He told him, Al Yachzer HaBen Eitzel Aviv. Now the Gemara doesn't say what happened afterwards. Tosfos tells us the rest of the story. B'Yushalmi Mefarish, She'ochzezoi Askira. That because of what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai told Rav Elazar Rav Yossi, Al Yachzer HaBen Eitzel Aviv, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosef became sick, became very sick. Misas Askara, which the Gemara describes in different places as the most chomer misa that a person can possibly get. Ukishenisker Rav Shimon, I'm reading from Tosfos as he's quoting this Yerushalmi, where Rav Shimon remembered Shehisno leShiva Yaviv, that he had promised Rabbi Yosef that he would return his son Chazar v'nespala Lavav, he davened for him v'nesrapa, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosef had Yeshua. Either way, says the Gemara, Yotzal across. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosef, they're on their way to Rome to save the Jews. As they're walking, Yotzal across, say Ben Tamalion, a Shin Dalid came and he met them. His name was Ben Tamalion. Omar, he told them, Ritzoinchem Ovayimachem, would you like me to come along with you to try to help you be mevatel this gzeira? So the Gemara says, where Rav Shimon Bar Yochai met the shade, Bocher Rav Shimon, he started crying. Omar, and he said, Mas Shivcha Shal Beis Abba, the Shivcha of my Zeda. He was referring to Hagar, who was the Shivcha of his Zeda. Avram Avinu, Nistamad Malach Shalish Pomim. 3 times a Malach came to Hagar to save and help Hagar. Vani Loi Pamachas, I can't be Zoicha even one time, not even one Malach, I need a Shin Dalid. Meaning a shade is inferior to a malach. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was a little bothered. Bacha Rav Shimon. He was upset. Why Hashem sent him a shade and why he didn't have the merit that even Hagar had, and that is to have a malach. Either way, he said, listen, if this is the best that I'm being offered right now, I'm going to take it. And Yavai Hanesmi Kol Makoim. Let's do it. If the miracle has to happen through a shade, then so be it. So the Gemara says, Kodem hu al babarte de kesi. Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, and Ben Tamalion. They all enter now the palace of the Roman emperor. They come in, and the shade went into the daughter of the Caesar. And she became a sugar. She became crazy because she had this ruach, this shindala that was inside her. Kimata Hassam, when they got there, Amar. So there was a big tumult. What was the tumult? The daughter of the emperor suddenly fell ill and they need to save her. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, I could do this. He says, Ben Tamal Yointse, Ben Tamal Yointse. Tosfos says he said it very quietly because he didn't want them to know what he was actually saying. And Tosfos says he didn't want them to realize that he was performing a miracle. He wanted it to appear as if he was davening. It was the Kleich HaTfil of Rav Shimon that this was what was performing the miracle. So he says quietly, Ben Tamalion, say Ben Tamalion, say, keeping the Karele Nafak Ozel. As soon as Ben Tamalion heard that, so he knew what he was supposed to do, he leaves the daughter of the Caesar, and this unbelievable miracle took place. Now the Roman emperor is vulnerable. He turns to Rav Shimon, he says, wow, this is amazing. You saved my daughter's life. Whatever you want, I'm going to give you. He says, okay. So he said, Shilu koma de islachay lemishal. Ailinu leganze. So he took him into the chambers of where, you know, they had all the genazim, all the treasures. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai starts looking around. Ashkechwa hu igra. And he sees this letter. And he opens up the scroll, and this was the gzeira. This was the decree that the Yidden can't keep Shabbos, and they can't do Bris Milah, and they can't keep Tyrus HaMishpachas. He says, you know what I want? I want this. Shaklua, he took it, Karua, he tore it up, and that's how the gzeira went away. Says the Gemara, a postscript to this story. This is what Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosef was referring to when he said in Masechtas Yuma Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, "Ani Reisia Beroimi V'Hayo Aleh Kamati Beidamin." As Machloikis in Yuma Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, when the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would do the special hazois in the Heichal with the Para Yom Kippurim and with the Sar that was brought Lashem, not the Sar Lazazel, the other Sar, the Sar Lashem. So the Hazoyas weren't done on the Mizbeach HaChitza, they were done on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. And whenever Hazoyas were done on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, this is Zvachim 101, all the Chatoyas HaPnimiyos, there were also Hazoyas that had to be done on the Pereiches of the Heichel. On Yom Kippur, in addition to the Hazoyas that were also done on the Pereiches on the Heichel, there were also Hazoyas that were done Bein Abadim, in the Kodesh HaKadosh. But the Hazoyas that were done on the Pereiches is a machloikis, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi, and the Chachamim, how exactly it was done. Were the Hazoyas physically done on the Pereiches, meaning the Kohen Gadol had to make sure the dam landed on the Pereiches? It was only supposed to be done Kineged HaPereiches, but it wasn't supposed to go on the Pereiches. Says the Gemara, Yuma Nun Zayin Omer Aleph, Omer Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi said, Ani Reisiyah, I saw the parochas. Where beroyme? V'hoya leh kama tipe damim shapar halim. And he said it had the par of the par and the sar of Yom Kippur. There's two gerses in the Gemara. I had the dam of the par of the sar of Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, how do you know it was from that? Maybe it was from the other chatois apnimis. So the Gemara says, because he saw it was kisidron. It was achas lemaila v'shev lemat. So he knew it was from Yom Kippur. So he says, don't tell me it was kenegad parochas. I have proof. You know what my proof is? Not an archaeological find. I saw it with my own eyes. I physically saw the parochas. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi saw the parochas in Rome. Zok the Gemara, when was Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi in Rome? And when did he have access to see the parochas? Says the Gemara, this is the rest of the story. Because when Rabbi Shimba Yechai went to Rome to Mivatel the Gzeira, who escorted him? Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi. And they were given access to see the Gnozim. They were able to see all the hidden treasures and that the Romans had. And one of the things they saw was the parochas. And by the way, it sounds like from the Gemara, if they wanted to take the parochas, they could have taken the parochas. But they had a much bigger issue that was looming, and that was this terrible gzeira. They decided to take instead the sigeres and to be mevatel the gzeira. But at the same time, says the Gemara, you want to know when Reb Lazar Reb Yossi saw it? V'hainu dam Reb Lazar Yossi ani risia beroymi v'hoya alea kama tipe dam. So a few ha'ores as it relates to this Gemara. Number one, so the Gemara tells a story with the Roman emperor who had imposed this terrible gzeira on the Yidden. The gzeira was shelo yishmer es haShabbos v'shelo yomulu es b'neim v'sheyivalu nidos. And the Gemara says that the Yidden tried very hard to be mevatel the gzeira. The first thing they did was they sent the Yid Reb Ruvein ben Ustrovli. They sent him undercover, so he posed as a Roman, and to do that he had a cut his hair in a certain way. Visiper kume. So this was a hairstyle that the Romans had. And obviously, if he was going to go undercover, he had to look like one of them. So he went ahead and he did that. And he tried to be mevatel the gzeira. And it seemed to have been successful until his cover was blown. At which point, they had to work on plan B. Plan B was to send Reb Shimon Bayichai, Ben Tamalioim, Shayim Malumet Ben Nisan. And he had to perform a miracle. But the Gemara says, Reb Ruvein Ben Ustrovli cut his hair in a way that the Romans used to cut their hair to try to save Klal Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya Simen Kuf Ayin Ches says as follows. It's a cotton aleph. Ein holchin bechukes ha'ovdei kechavin. The Torah says twice, u'bechukai seyem loisei lecho. A Yid is not allowed to follow the chukai sa'akim. So says the Shulchan Aruch, what does that mean? Lo yilbash b'malbash ha'miyuchad lehem. You're not allowed to dress in clothing that's unique to them. Meaning, you can't cut your hair the way that they cut their hair. Additionally, you're not allowed to build buildings the way they do. Means you can't dress like them. You can't have your here look the way their here looks. You can't build binyanim the way their binyanim are. Says the Mechabrim Sivkot Beis, Mishu Karav L'Malchus. If someone is Karav L'Malchus, V'tzorich Lilboish, B'malbusheyem Uledamo Yislehem, and he has to dress like them and look like them simply because of the things that he does for Klal Yisrael, muter bakoil. In that event, everything is going to be muter. What's the makar to this halacha? So the makar to this halacha, naturally, is this Gemara that we just learned. There are other makaris as well, but the Gemara that we just learned, there's a mefurish makar. You see that Reb Ruvein ben Ustrovli was allowed to go undercover. The Gemara says clearly, v'siper kumi, he cut his hair in a way that only the Romans used to cut their hair, which the Shulchan Aruch says technically was a violation of the halacha of ein hoilchim b'chukas ha'ovdei kechavim. Must be, because he was a kar of the malchus. He had no choice. This was the only way that he was able to do it. And it's from there that we have a halacha, mishu kar of the malchus, v'tzorech lilboish b'malbusheyem, uledam islehem. The obvious question is that it's very nice that it's very nice that Reb Ruvein ben Ustrovli was a car of the Malchus, but at the same time there is a lois say in the Torah of a b'chukaseim lois elecho. So mehecha tesi car of the Malchus would be enough to be doicha u'b'chukaseim lois elecho. So in the case of Ruvein Ustrovli, where it was pekuach nefesh, it was atzolos klai Yisrael. Okay, so if it's not avodah zara gila rai shvichas damim, then it's not going to be an issue. Now it's not so clear that it wasn't avodah zara, but mikenza chanetz gave him. The problem is the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it has to be pekuach nefesh. The lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is mishu car of the Malchus. That's all he says. Mishu karav l'malchus. So the question is, karav l'malchus? I mean, it's very nice But how could you go ahead and violate an Issa D'Oraisa because you're a Karev L'Malchus? The Yosef asks the Kasha, the Taz asks the Kasha, Ayin Shom. But there's one very important Marumak. This is a very big discussion with halachic and hashkafic and philosophical ramifications. So obviously above my pay grade. But just one ha'ara, one marumakim as it relates to this sugya that comes from the Gemara that we just learned. And that is, the Ramah quotes a very, very big kula in this halacha from the Marik. Says the Ramah, that even though the Shulchan Aruch said that a Yid is not allowed to cut his hair the way the Ovid Kechavim do, he's not allowed to dress the way the Ovid Kechavim do, the Chol Zeh Eino Yasser, says the Ramah, Ela B'davar She'nagu Bayo Ovid Kechavim L'Shem Pritzos. This is only true if this beged, this way of dressing of the Ovid Kechavim is something that they do, but it's L'Shem Pritzos. Kugoy, and he gives an example. She'nagu L'Ubosh Malbushim Adoimim. They wear red clothing. Some of the non-Jews did. And it was considered pritzos. Batznei Aleches is to wear darker. They go ahead and they wear red. It's considered a derech pritzos. Or if they dress a certain way, but it really makes no sense why they dress that way. They wear this, kacha. That's when you have this halacha of the Shulchan Aruch. But says the Shulchan Aruch, says the Ramah, but let's say the Ovid Kechavim dress a certain way, they dress that way, l'tayeles, simply because, I don't know, it just makes sense to dress that way. A doctor is in the OR and he wears scrubs. It just makes sense for him to dress that way. That's fine. Or some other professional, he's an Umin, and he dresses a certain way because that's just the way those professionals dress. That's not a problem. You can't tell me, what do you mean? If the Gentile professionals dress that way, and I'm a Yid, so I'm going to have to make sure that I do it a little bit differently, a different color, different this, that, and that. Says, why would that be that? Why would that make sense? Why would that be the case? The only time it's a violation of a B'chuk HaSeim, Lo Yisei Lechu, is if the Ovdei Chacham do it for no reason, or there is a reason and it's a bad one. It's like a pritzus to get inyan. But to the extent that it's just the way it is, mechatesi. Why should that be a problem? It's a tremendous kula, the Ramah says it, and the makar to it is the Marik. Now, if you take a look at the Marik, which I did, it's very long, and the Marik starts off by saying that you have to remember that when it says in the Torah, uvechukai seyam loisei lecho, the word chayk is miloshin zois chukas ha-Torah. Like the Par Aduma, it's a Gzeiras HaMelech. It's something that really has no time. And it's for that reason, said the Marik, that the only time of Chuk HaSeim L'Yisilech was going to apply is if this minor, this custom that you're following, is a Milsabalei time. But if it's not a Milsabalei time, there's a reason for it. You're a doctor and you're dressing a certain way. You're a lawyer and you want to look professional. That's not being done for no reason, and it's not a derech pritzos, says the Marik, it's poshut that pikahai gavna, this isn't going to be an issue. Either way, the Marik says it barichos, he's also medayik the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, which is really the lashon of Rambam, v'lo yilbash malbish ha-miyuchad lahem. The malbush is only an issue if it's miyuchad lahem, that it's unique to them. This is a goyish azach. They have it b'mesoira, they do it for no reason, but to the extent that it's not miyuchad lahem any more than it is to us, then why should it fall into this halacha? This is tremendous kulas there. But the Marik brings two rayas. One is from a Gemara that we learned not that long ago, and one is from a Gemara that we just learned a few minutes ago. The first is a Gemara in the Sechtes Chulin, Daf Kuv Zayin Amid Aleph. This is fascinating. The Gemara over there is discussing the halachas of Mayim Rishoinim and Mayim Achroinim. And the Gemara tells a story that Rav Dimi and Ravin both came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and they reported back the following story. They said it in a different version. Remember the Gemara. Yasser Ravin said, this is the Gemara in Perikol HaBasa. It's not Kuvav HaMeraf, not Kuvzayin. Kuvav HaMeraf in the Sechtes Chulin. Either way, Rav Dimi and Ravin were both saying sort of the same story, and that is Maisa Shahoya Kachoya. There was a Yid, and he had a krechma, he had an inn, and he used to serve the people that were staying in his inn. If a Jew stayed there, he would give him kosher food. If a non-Jew stayed there, he would give him non-kosher food. And he would look at the person and figure out, is he a Yid, is he not a Yid? And like this, he knew what type of food he was supposed to serve him. The person walks in, he's a Yid, he sits down to eat, and he didn't wash Mayim HaRishayim. Because he didn't watch Netilas Yadayim, so this person, the owner of the inn, assumed that for sure he's not Jewish. So he went ahead, and in Rav Dimi's version, he gave him chazer. In Robin's version, he gave him the bela. Point is, he gave him non-kosher food. Why? All because he didn't wash. And the Gemara over there says, you see from here, how important it is to be nizir in Mayim HaRishayim, even though it's only a mitzvah, the Rabbanon, it's from the Takanas of Shlomo Melech, but it's not a din d'oraisa, but you have to keep, you have to observe it. Because once upon a time, there was a yid that wasn't careful in Mayim HaRishayim, and he was nizir either in Basin Avel or Basin Chazir, depending on whose version of the story you follow, Rav Dimi or Rav. Freak the Marik, I don't understand. A person walks in, and the innkeeper's not sure if he's a yid or he's not a yid. Why don't he look the way he's dressed? What did he look like? He looked like a yid or he didn't look like a yid? Mayim HaRishayim? And he says dressing like a yid is not a question of a derabbanon. It's a question of a deraisa. Uvechukai say am loisei lechu. It's a loisei. It's not even an asei. It's not chatzi shir, which is an issa ba'alma, like Taisha says in Shavuos Chav Gimel Amud Beis. This is a real issa deraisa. This is uvechukai say am loisei lechu. Mayim HaRishayim? That's what it came down to. What did the person look like? Isn't it fair to assume that he looked like a yid? And if he didn't look like a yid, tell him what, he looked like a non-Jew. See, if he looked like a non-Jew, then that should have been what threw him off. What, he was thrown, the way he looked apparently was neither here nor there. What impacted what this person was going to serve this yid was simply the Mayim HaRishayim. Azoy freik the Marik, Zok the Marik, Vaistoyz, there's no halacha that Jews have to dress differently than non-Jews. No halacha. Because if there was such halacha, then this Gemara doesn't make sense. Elamai, it must be that as long as you're not wearing a beged hamayuchad lahem, that's enough not to be over. But it doesn't say that a yid has to be nikr b'malbushah. Big chiddush. But then what he said doesn't say it anywhere. And being that it doesn't say it anywhere, that's why the only thing that threw this yid off was the Mayim HaRishayim. That's the first raya that the Marik brings. The Shach incidentally brings this raya of the Marik right here on the side. He asks Sakasha on it. But this is from the Marik. This is the Marik that the Ramah is quoting. Second raya is the Gemara that we just learned. Because the Gemara says Rav Reuven ben Ostrovli went undercover to try to save the Jews. And what did he do? They had to be matter something. What were they matter? They were matter for him to cut his hair, for him to be Masapra Kumi, the special haircut, the blurus that the Romans used to have. So they went ahead and he shaved his head in a certain way, and this was a tremendous chiddush. Because the Gemara should have also said that they let him dress like a Roman. How did he dress? They told him, you don't have to dress the way you've always been dressing. You can go ahead and put on the Roman garb. It's the same chiddush. It's the same of v'chukai seyem loisei lechu. So, l'chura, we're allowing you now to go ahead, A, dress differently, and have it. It's the same halach in Shulchan Aruch. Ein hoch v'chukai seyem dekechav. What does that mean? V'lo yilbash malbash hamayuchel lehem. It also means, v'lo yigadal tzitzis roish, v'lo tzitzis roish, v'lo yigalech me'atzadu, v'lo yichzar b'emsa. So how come we're only mentioning the first halach, the second halach, not the first halach? They told him, you can cut your hair the way the Romans did. And they didn't say anything about the way he dressed. Vaisa, it's not a problem. For a yid to have dressed the way the Roman dressed in those days would have been fine. As long as it's not a question of Begadam Yochalahem, and Vaisa, it wasn't Begadam Yochalahem. It didn't fall into Bechukesem Leiselechel. But the Marik says if there's this new objective, absolute halacha that the yid has to dress differently than the non-Jew, then just like they were matter him, Lasapra Kumi, the Gemara should have said that they were matter him to dress like the Roman. Faisla is the only halachic issue that Rav Reuven ben Ostrovli, the only hurdle that he had to overcome was making sure that he's allowed to cut his hair, and they were matter. But other than that, there was no issues. Faisla is to dress like the Roman would not have been a problem. It would not have been a violation of a b'chukai seyem lo yisei lecho. Again, this is a conversation that's above my pay grade, but the point is, it's the Marik. It's quoted by the Ramah. The Vilna Gaon brings the Marik, and the Gaon asks a lot of kashas on the Marik. So again, I'm not even coming to say Ray. This is just a maramakim ba'alma. This Marik was quoted by the Ramah in Yerudea Simon Kuf Ayin Ches. That's the first Ara. The second Ara is, so the Gemara says that Rab Shimon bar Yochai is in Rome, and he meets Rab Masya ben Charash. And Rab Masya ben Charash asked him a question. What was this question? Minayin lidam hasheretz shehutamei. Okay, rather an obscure part of Shas. I mean, literally, you have to wait almost 7.5 years to get there in Daf Yomi. But his question was, how do you know that the dam hasheretz is Tomei, it's a Mishnah in Mi'ilah, Daf Yudzayin Amar Aleph. And he told him, he gave him a whole drasha. And the Talmidim of Rav Masya ben Charash was standing there, and they were a shtickle taken aback. They said, wow, Chachamli ben Yochai, wow, ben Yochai knows the answer? Like, they were surprised. And he told them, I don't know if he knows really the answer. Amalam, he told him, Talmud Orech Befivsho or Belasib Reb Yosi. And to me, this Gemara is a pella. But the Talmidim were taken aback, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, with no one answer? Rav Shimon Baichai is not Rav Shimon in Shas. Rav Shimon is mentioned everywhere in Shas. Why was everybody so surprised that Rav Shimon Baichai would know how to darshan a drasha? I mean, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of drashas in Shas. Why is it a big deal that Rav Shimon Baichai was able to say a drasha? And by the way, the drashas that we have in Shas, Kiyadua, is literally a drop in the bucket of all the drushes and all the Messiah that the Tanam had. Abayir, Rav, Ravina, Rav Ashi, the Amayuram, who developed the Talmud Bavli, they picked and chose which drushes should be mentioned. But there's much more. What we have is literally a Tipa Shebiyah. There were so many drushes. Why was it so surprising, so shocking to the audience that Rav Shimon Baichai was able to darshan an extra vav and tell us how you know that the dam of the chat? And even Rav Masih ben Charish said, he told him no. Talmud Aruch bepivshor of Blaz Rav Yez. And then the Gemara tells the story how Rav Shimon Baichai heard it from Blaz Rav Yez. He actually heard it on his way to Rome. It's fascinating. But why was it so surprising to the Olam that Rav Shimon Baichai would know this halacha? So I was just thinking, Lulei de Mistafina. I don't know if you could say this, but Lulei de Mistafina. We mentioned recently, you know, the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas, coming up soon, but one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas, where the Gemara tells the story of Oisei Ayoyim, when Rabbi Gamliel was overthrown from being the Nasi, and instead Rabbi Elazar ben Azari became the Nasi. And how did it all start? It was all triggered by a Talmud that asked the question. There was a Ma'isa b'Talmud Echad Shabol Lefnei Rabbi Yeshua. A Talmud Echad came in front of Rabbi Yeshua, and he asked him, Tfilas Arvis Rishus Oichayva. He wanted it all. Ma'irev. You have to have a Ma'irev, or it's just suggested. Tfilas Arvis Chayva, or Tfilas Arvis Rishus. And the Gemara says that he told him Rishus, and then he came to Rabbi Gamliel, he said Chayva, he said, who told you Rishus? Rabbi Yeshua. And that triggered a fascinating story, a monumental event. We did a like Ba'imer read bite on this. It's a fascinating story the Gemara tells of what happened because of this story. At the very, very end, the Gemara says, who is this Talmud that asked this question? For Isli Talmud, Rab Shimon ben Yochai, Hava. It was Rab Shimon bar Yochai. So Rab Shimon bar Yochai is referred to in that brisa as a Talmud Echad. Gemara Mesechtas Meila Dav Zayin Amud Beis. Gemara that we just learned. So the Gemara over there was discussing halacha with regards to the chatois hamesais. If someone was mafish a karban chatos and then he lost it, so he was mafish another chatos. So there's this big chiddush that Rabbi Akiva said that when you do this rik of the dam of one of the chatois, not only does the baser of the et chatos Yotzim Midei Me'ila, but the boss of the other Chatas is also Yotzim Midei Me'ila. And in the context of that shmuz, the Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Akiva were discussing this halacha. Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Shimon an answer to the halacha that he said, and Reish Lakish overheard this exchange years later, and he said, Shuva Genuva Hishiva Rabbi Akiva Lo'oysa Talmud. That he gave him a gaganda to Shuva. He wasn't 100% honest with him, meaning he told him something that wasn't 100% true. He knew Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai maybe wouldn't chap it. So he told him something that wasn't 100% true. But Shuva Genuva Hishiva Rabbi Akiva Lo'oysa Talmud. Another place where you find that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is referred to as a Talmud. So it was pasha to me that these two Gemaras, there's something here. That you have two places in Shas that Rav Shimon is referred to as a Talmud. And we spoke this out when we learned the Gemara, Me'ilah Dav Zayin Amid Beis. L'mais I found in the Megadim Chadashim, in Mesechtes Brachos Dav Chav Zayin Amid Beis, he shtels through this Gemara. He brings the Rav Yaakov Emden over there, says a pshat in why the Gemara over there referred to Rav Shimon as a Talmud. And he says a whole pshat. Zokter, it's very nice in that sugi over there, Mesechtes Brachos. But the problem is I found another Gemara, Me'ilah Dav Zayin Amid Beis, Tshuva Genuva, Hey Rabbi Akiva Loisa Talmud. So you have two Gemaras where Rav Shimon is referred to as a Talmud. It's interesting. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is referred to as a Talmud. Okay, he was probably younger then. And at that point, he really was a Talmud. But just one Ha'ara, and that is that we spoke out in the past in greater detail. We don't have time to go through it again. An unbelievable shtickle from the Heilig Divrei Yoel, the Satmarov, in his Pirush al HaTorah in Parshas Vayeshev. The context over there is there's a machloikis between the Rambam and the Chachmei Luniel, Gid Hanosha, which is Asr Ba'achila, it's the third mitzvah in the Torah, L'mispar HaChinuch, Shaloi Lecho Mi Gid Hanosha. And this machlokes, what a Gid Hanosha is Asr Ba'achila and also Asr Bahana, or whether it's Mutter Bahana. The Chachmei Luniel said that Gid Hanosha is Asr Ba'achila, it's also Asr Bahana. So some Macholis Asuras are also Asr Bahana. So the question was, where does Gidanasha fall in? Aser or Mutter? So the Chachmin O'Neil said that Gidanasha is also Aser Bahana. The Rambam Shita is that Gidanasha is Mutter Bahana. And the Beis Yosef asks a Gevaldig Akash. He says, the truth is, this machloikis between the Rambam and the Chachmin O'Neil is a machloikis, Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda and Shas. Reb Yehuda says the Gidanasha is Mutter Bahana. Reb Shimon says that it's Aser Bahana. It's right, the Beis Yosef. We know the rule. Wherever there's a machloikis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. That halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Shimon. So if that's the case, how could the Chachmin O'Neil paskin like Rabbi Shimon? That Gidanosh is also bana. It's machloikis Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, that halacha is always like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we have this machloikis Rishonim. Whether Gidanosh is mutabana or asabana. The problem for it to be serious is this is not really machloikis Rishonim. You have to trace it back earlier. It's a machloikis tanon. And it's not just any tanon. It's Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. And we have Klali Ashas. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, that looks like Rabbi Yehuda. It's Freik the Beis Yosef. How can it be that the Chachmil O'Neil Paskin, Asabana, it's Rabbi Shimon Shita. We don't pass like Rabbi Shimon Keneged Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Beis Yosef. Umiyu. I found in the Zohar HaKadosh that the Zohar HaKadosh also says that the Gidanash is Asabana. And being that the Zohar also says that it's Asabana, maybe that's why the Chachmil O'Neil Paskin that it's Asabana. Or at the very least, that's a reason that we should be Machmer like the Chachmil O'Neil. Meaning, I think the Rambam's right, because based on Kol Yashas from Shimon Rabbi Yehuda, that look is always like Rabbi Yehuda, but besides Zayir. I mean that it's a Zayir. The Zayir also, says now it's different. Freight the Darki Moshe. Who's the Darki Moshe? The Ramah. He says it's a Pella. He says, Shamati. I heard Kibal Sefer Azayir, who stand Rav Shimon Hamuski B'Talmud, Shehu Rav Shimon Bayichai. He says the Beis Yosef got excited because he found the Zayir. Oh, the Zayir says that Gidanash is Asabana. Oh, that's the Makar to the Chachmin L'Nil. He said, who is the Zayir? It's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. You want to know why the Beis Yosef found this Zayir? It's Rav Shimon L'Shitasa. Rav Shimon, who holds a Masechta Schulin that the Gidanash is Asabana, in the Zayir also said the Gidanash is Asabana. So how does that help us? The fact that he found the Zayir, Zayir just means that it's another Rav Shimon. Beis Yosef knew Rav Shimon holds that it's Asabana. As Kasha was, we don't pass like Rav Shimon. We pass like Rav Yehuda. Zayir freaked the Darki Maish. It's a bomba Kasha on the Beis Yosef. Says the Divrei Yoel, I'm going to tell you Pshan in the Gemara. And it's based on a Mefurish Gemara. A Gemara Masech to Shabbos. Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. This is after Rav Shimon Bar Yochai came out of the Ma'ara. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was in the Ma'ara for 12 years. And then he was there for another year. So now he comes out. Says the Gemara, Shomer Pinchas Ben Yor Chasone. Rav Pinchas Ben Yor, some say he was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's son-in-law. Some say he was his father-in-law. So Shomer Pinchas Ben Yor Chasone. V'nofak La'api. And he came out to greet Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Ay, Lele Beibone. He took him into the bathhouse. Habakorach Lele Visrei. And he comes to the bathhouse. And Pinchas Ben Yor sees Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's meat, he sees his flesh, he sees his body, and he realizes the Yisurim that he must have gone through, just what it looked like for being in the cave for such a long time. Chazad Havili Pila Begufe, Habakabachi, he started crying. Vikonasri Demase, he was crying so bad that tears were rolling down his face. Vikometzavchale, and he was crying. It says the Gemara, Amale, Oyli Sharisicha Bekach, he says, oh, woe is to me, Rav Shimon, that I have to see you this way. It's so hard for me to look at this. Amale, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai told Pinchas Ben Yor, just the opposite. Ashrecha shari sini bekach. How fortunate are you that you see me this way? Shumali loiri sini bekach, loi matzasi bekach. Because had I not looked this way, I wouldn't sound this way. Meaning, because I steiged so much in the Ma'ara. And the only reason I steiged so much is because of the way I look. So it's true that physically I look terrible, but spiritually I look so much better. And there's an inverse relationship. Because of the way I look physically, it's precisely the reason I look this way spiritually. So you think, oily sheri yisicha bekach, it's just the opposite. Ashrecha sheri yisani bekach, says the Gemara. Really? Rav Shimon steiged so much when he was in the Mar? The Gemara says, yeah. Because it used to be, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had a kasha in learning, so who would he go to? He would go to Rav Pinchas Ben Yor. Have a kamefarically, Rav Pinchas Ben Yor, trace a piruki. And Rav Pinchas Ben Yor was so much better in learning, so to speak, than Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that for every kasha that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had, Rav Pinchas Ben Yor had 12 answers. Can't be Machshir, Pinchas Ben Yor Kushio. But what happened afterwards, Lebesoiv, where Rav Pinchas Ben Yor had a kasha, he would go to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and have him a fire to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Esimar Bar Peruki, 24 answers. So it used to be Rav Shimon had a kasha, you would ask Pinchas Ben Yor. And Rav Pinchas Ben Yor was so much greater than him in learning, 12 answers to Rav Shimon Za'aris. Then Rav Shimon Chai steiged. Then not only wasn't he asking questions to Rav Pinchas Ben Yor, Rav Pinchas Ben Yor was asking questions to him. Not just that, for every question Rav Pinchas saw, something Rav Pinchas Ben Yor didn't know, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai now knew 24 answers. So he used to have questions that Rav Pinchas Ben Yor had 12 answers to. Now, Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, who has 12 answers for Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's old questions, when he has a question, Rav Shimon has 24 answers to his question. A lot in the Mar, and that's what Shimon Aichai told Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. You're saying, "Oy li sheri sika b'chach," just the opposite. Ashrecha sheri sini b'chach. Shulmalei loyri isani b'chach. Loy matzasi b'chach. Bottom line is, says the Divrei Yonah, that you see from here that Rav Shimon Aichai steiged tremendously when he was in the Mar. If that's the case, yesh loymar that. This that we know, whenever there's machlokes between Rav Shimon and Halachas of Rabbi Yehuda, that's because Rav Shimon, in learning, wasn't as great as Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, the klal is that if Rabbi Yehuda felt one way and Rav Shimon felt another way, it's mistaber that the Halachas is going to be like Rabbi Yehuda. But yesh loymar, that was only before the Ma'ara. But after the Ma'ara, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came out, and now he's giving 24 terutzim to all Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's questions. Maybe now it changed. And maybe now the Halacha will be like Rav Shimon. It's not going to be like Rabbi Yehuda anymore when he argues with Rabbi Yehuda. The problem is, if you have a machlokes with Rav Shimon, how are you supposed to know which Rav Shimon is this? Is this Rav Shimon from before the Ma'ara? Rav Shimon from after the Ma'ara? But one thing we know, said the Divrei Yoel, that the Zohar HaKadosh was written when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was in the Ma'ara. And being that it was written when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was in the Ma'ara, that's for sure Rav Shimon Bar Yochai from the Lach of the Ma'ara. If that's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai from the Lach of the Ma'ara, over there the halacha is going to be like Rav Shimon. He says, that's Pshat in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef was bothered with the Chachmi Lunil. Gidah, Anosh is also Rav Shimon. We don't pass like Rav Shimon. It's Machloik is Rav Shimon. But says the Beis Yosef, then I found it's a Zohar. So if it's a Zohar, what does that mean? It means it's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai from the, after the Ma'ara. Oh, it's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai from after the Ma'ara. Here the halacha is going to be like Rav Shimon already. If here the halacha is like Rav Shimon, that's why the Achmi Leniel could paskin like Rav Shimon, Dvarim Neflam. But what do you see from here? You see that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had it before and after. There was Rav Shimon Koidim the Ma'ara, and there's Rav Shimon La'acha the Ma'ara. Rav Shimon Koidim the Ma'ara was a Talmud. He's asking questions. He asked 12 questions. And then there was Rav Shimon of after the Ma'ara, and it was a different Rav Shimon. It wasn't the same person. He went, again, from asking a question to Rav Pinchas Ben Yair with 12 answers to now having 24 answers to Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's questions. That's a great leap forward. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai steiged tremendously. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai comes to Rome. Perhaps the Talmidim of Rav Masih ben Choresh. And Rav Masih ben Choresh as well. News didn't travel like it travels today. They had no idea. They knew Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was. They remembered Rav Shimon Bar Yochai from Amal. Who's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? He's the Talmud. Shuvah Genuvah Yeshiva Rabbi Akiva Lois Talmud. That's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was. Who was the Talmud that asked that question? Didn't know Tfilas Arvis Rishus, Tfilas Arvis Chayveh. This is Rav Shimon. This is the Rav Shimon with Allah is not like Rav Shimon. This is Rav Shimon where he had a Ha'ara and learned, he had a Kashi. He went to Pinchas Ben Yair and he asked him a Kashi. Pinchas Ben Yair told him 12. Would you want the first Teretz or the 12th Teretz? He was able to give him 12 terutzim. But Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had steig. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai became the great Rav Shimon. But it could be they didn't know this. They didn't know this. Either way, if you take a look at the Chidon Pesach, and I ain't bothered with this kasha. It's a bump kasha. Lulei de Mistafina. Maybe with the understanding of the before and after in the life of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, we can understand what at first glance would seem to be a very puzzling line in a Gemara. That's the second Ha'ara. The third Ha'ara is, so the Gemara ended with the fact that Rav Blaz, Rav Yossi, and Rav Shimon, and Ben Tamalion, they're given access to the hidden treasures of the Romans, and they're told that whatever you want to take, you can take. They took the Igeres, they took the Xeris, they tore it up, and the rest is history. But the Gemara concludes, and the Gemara says, V'hainu da'amar, V'hainu da'amar Rav Blaz, Rav Yossi. This Rav Blaz, Rav Yossi was referring to when he said, Ani re'isiyah be'ir roimi, V'havo le'er kama tipe damen. That he was in Rome, he saw the Pereiches, and the kama tipe damen. When was he in Rome, and when did he have access to be able to see the Pereiches, says the Gemara? This is the rest of the story. When he went in to be Mevatel the Gzeir. Now, if you take a look at that Gemara, Yuma Daf Nun Zayin Amar Aleph, so again, the Gemara over there brings a Machloikis, Rav Blaz, Rav Yossi, and the Chachamim. How exactly the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would do the Hazois of the Par Yom Kippurim and of the Sarah Lashem by the Pereiches? Was it physically on the Pereiches? Did the Dan have to land on the Pereiches? Or was it only Kineged HaPereiches? Blaz Rav Yossi says it had to be on the Pereiches. And he said this line, if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi brings the Gemara in Mi'ilah Daf Yizayin Amar Beis. Again, this Rashi is in Yuma Nun Zayin Amar Aleph. And at the end, Rashi says, V'sham ra'a klei beis hamikdash ba'oitzer. That when he was there, he saw the klei beis hamikdash in the oitzer. Rav Kiva Eger in Gilyan Ashah says that if you want to know exactly what Rav Blaz Rav Yossi saw, take a look in Avos D'Rav Nosson, Perek Mem Aleph. So Avos D'Rav Nosson was written on Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos is 6 prakim, everybody knows that. Avos D'Rav Nosson is a lot longer. It's 41 prakim, but it's like a pirish. the earliest Pirish on Pirkei Avos. Actually, fascinating. But either way, says the Avos Rav Nosson, this is Perik Mem Aleph, Mishnah, or Braisa, Yud Beis. Dvarim ha'asuyim ugnuzim Elohim. There were certain things that the Yidden had in the Beis HaMikdash that were hidden. Oyel Moyed, V'kelem Shabai, V'oroin, V'shivrei Luchais, V'tzintzenes Haman, V'hamata, Sloichi Shol Shemen HaMishcha, U'makle Shol Aharin Shkedeh U'prachea, U'bigdei Kohuna, U'vigdei Koy Moshiach. Says the Avos Rav Nosson, Avol, Machteshes Shol Beis Avtinos, the Machteshes that was used for the Ketores, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Paroiches, and the Tzitz, Adayim Munachim Baroimi. I'm still in Rome. So this is an Avos Rav Nosson. The Machteshes, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Paroiches, and the Tzitz, Adayim Munachim Baroimi. One of the things was the Paroiches, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that you're learning this Gemara with Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi. There's two places you'd learn it. Yuman and Zayin Amar Aleph, Mi'ilad Af Yud Zayin Amar Beis. Take a look at this Avos Rav Nosson. You want to know what Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi saw? He saw the Shulchan. He saw the Menorah, he saw the Machteshesh or Beis Aftinos, he saw the Paroiches, he saw the Tzitz, and by the way, Adayim Munachim Baroimi. Now, Adayim Munachim Baroimi doesn't necessarily mean today. Adayim Munachim Baroimi means that when this Bryson, Avos Rav Nosson, was written, at that point, it was still considered to be in Rome. But one thing is interesting, the Welt says that when the Romans, Titus and Vespasian, destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, so they took the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash with them. And the question is, which Kalim exactly were taken? So people assume that the Menorah was taken, because if you look at the Arch of Titus, you have a Menorah. But people have questioned that, because it's really not built to spec, because it only has six Neres, so it doesn't really look exactly the way the Menorah was supposed to look like. And there were other Menorahs in the Beis HaMikdash. And because there were other lamps, I mean, they didn't have electricity, so there were other Menorahs. I mean that there were other Menorahs, so it's not Muchach, just based on the picture and the sculpture itself, that necessarily means that they took the Menorah. But then again, Titus was probably trying to show the great victory that he had, and this was the prize, this was the crown jewel, which was the Menorah. So again, back and forth, it makes for interesting debate. So what did Chazal say? I mean, what was Chazal's opinion? Did the Romans take the Menorah? Like, what happened to the Menorah? It's a Mefurish Avos Rav Nosson. The Machteshes Shel Beis Aftinos, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Paroiches, and the Tzitz, Adayim Munachim Baroimi. Now, that's clear that they took a lot of the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Roman Colosseum was paid for, it was financed by the spoils that the Romans took from the Jews. Now, just a little history, the Roman Colosseum, which I think today is considered the most visited, it's the number one tourist attraction in the world. Just a little bit of perspective. But either way, the Roman Colosseum was built right after the Churban. It was built approximately in the year 70, 72, 74. So right around the time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, it was built by Vespasian, also known as Aspasianus, and Titus, also known as Titus. And the Mesorah always understood, there was a tradition that they took the spoils of Beis HaMikdash, all the Jewish slaves, all the prisoners of war, and they were the ones that built the Colosseum. But it's interesting that recently they actually were able to decipher an inscription that they found somewhere in the Colosseum proper. So in the Colosseum itself, there was this archaeological find where they were able to decipher this inscription that says, translated into English, the Emperor Vespasian ordered this new amphitheater to be erected from his general's share of the booty. So this is, of course, the booty of what? The booty of Churban Beis HaMikdash. But either way, the Roman Colosseum was for sure financed by the money, the spoils that the Romans took after Churban Beis HaMikdash. They took a lot of money, they took a lot of gold, but in terms of prominent kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, that they didn't sell, that they kept. V'adayim munachim baroimi, meaning that didn't go to finance the Roman Colosseum or other things that they needed. The question, of course, is, where is it today? So is it still in Rome today? Is it in the Vatican? For that, we'll have to wait till the next stuff. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea. But one thing is for certain, the Roman Empire was overthrown, and you know the Catholic Church went through extended periods of time where they had no money. So you know a lot of people argue that just from a derech hateva, what happened shloike derech hateva, that's above our pay grade. But from a pure derech hateva perspective, it would make sense that at some point they felt that the right thing and the appropriate thing to do would be to sell it. Then again, you do see in the Avos Rav Nosson that at least initially they had a covet for it. They kept it and they didn't sell it. And Adayim Munachim Baroimi. So it definitely survived a significant period of time. Where it is today, that we won't know. Be a skillet tzaddik.